This morning, I want to talk about communion because we are going to participate in communion a little bit later in our service. I'm going to do it in two parts, so we're going to take 2 points and then 2 points a little bit later. So a little bit different in terms of our format this morning, but we at Lakeside generally have communion once a month, usually the first Sunday of the month. That's our pattern. We probably will continue with that pattern. But why do we do that? You know, month after month, we continue to celebrate communion. And you may not know this, but people all over the world do this regularly. And for hundreds and hundreds of years, believers in Christ have celebrated communion or the Lord's Supper regularly and have seen it as really a central part of their faith. But why is that? Why communion? And it started back when Jesus, with his disciples, had a meal. And along with all of the other food, they took the cup and they took the bread. He broke the bread and he distributed it and said, "This is my body." And he took the cup and said, "This is my blood." And here's what it says in Matthew chapter 26. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it. For this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." So all these many centuries later, we're still doing it. We're still taking the bread, and we're still taking the cup, and we're still saying those words, and we're still remembering Jesus. Now, there's lots of reasons that we could say why we do this. But I'm going to give you four. But really, the primary reason we do this is because we're followers of Jesus, and Jesus commanded us to. That's kind of the simple reason why we're doing it. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so we believe that that wasn't just a one-time thing, but down through the centuries, for those who follow Christ, that this is something that we need to do, and it's important to us because he's told us that we need to do this. So we follow him in that. Now, I don't know how you feel about that and kind of where you're at in terms of how you view this, what we're going to be doing in a few minutes, whether you see it as something that's at the heart of who you are as a believer in Christ and a heart of your life in Christ, or whether you see it as just it's kind of a ritual, it's something that we do in churches, and maybe you grew up with that, or maybe you've observed it and it doesn't mean that much to you, but you may observe it or take part in it, but it doesn't really speak to who you are and what you do. It doesn't seem to have any relevance. But I want to tell you this morning that I'm looking forward to communion because I need it. I'm looking forward to communion because I need it this morning. In fact, I don't know if you believe me or not, but I think you do too. I think you need communion. And that's because it goes so much deeper than just a religious observance, just a ritual, a habit that we in our particular church do once a month. It goes so much deeper than that. It touches the core of who we are, and it changes our life if we really do believe what we say we believe when we do this. So the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he was writing this letter to the church in the city of Corinth, and it was about just what we're doing today. It was about communion or the Lord's Supper, and he said this, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving, for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" Now, easy words to say, but you think of what that actually means. That we participate, we share in all of the benefits that come from the broken body of Jesus on the cross and the shed blood of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. We share in that if we're followers of Jesus. We participate in it. All the benefits of what happened that day come to us. In his book, The Applause of Heaven, Max Lucado tells the story of an earthquake that struck a city in Soviet Armenia in 1988. And he tells the story of a young mother by the name of Susanna who had a 4-year-old daughter. And they had gone to visit on this particular day, gone to visit her sister-in-law. We're going to stay with her. And on that day when they arrived, the earthquake hit. and the structure that they were staying in, the house that they were staying in, crumbled on top of them. And so they were buried under concrete and rubble for 8 days, waiting for the rescuers to come. And so she told the story of her little four-year-old daughter crying and crying out for someone to rescue her. And they didn't have any water, obviously. They were trapped in this tiny little space, just enough air to breathe, but nothing to drink for 8 days. And she was crying out for something to drink, just to survive. And her mother happened to remember a story that she had seen on a program on TV of some explorers in the Arctic years ago. And what had happened in that case is that one of the sailors was dying of thirst. And so another one took a knife and he cut his hand and let the blood drip out. And he gave the blood to his friend just to sustain him. The liquid in that blood sustained him and helped him to survive. She remembered that story. And so she found a piece of broken glass on the ground in that little space where they were trapped. And she took it and she cut the end of her finger and she put her finger in her daughter's mouth and said, "Drink this blood. It'll keep you alive." It didn't last very long. She was thirsty again in just a little while. And so she said, "Mom, cut your finger again." And so her mom cut her finger again. And so she continued to cut her hands and give that blood to her daughter so her daughter could survive until the rescuers finally came and pulled them out. So what an incredible picture of what happened on the cross as God gave his son and he shed his blood. And so on that hill where that cross stood, Jesus was nailed to the cross, his hands and his feet, a spear pierced his side, the blood flowed, and that blood becomes the only thing that can take away our sin, the only blood that can save. There's an old hymn, some of you may know it. It goes like this: "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." So that's the first thing. That's the first reason why I need communion today, is that it will remind me of the lengths, how far God will go to save me, how far God was willing to go to save me and to save you. Out of his love, he was willing to go to the cross and shed his blood. And so every time I come and I receive communion, then I remind myself that he has saved me in the past tense. He has saved me from my sins. He has delivered me from condemnation. I've been justified. I've been born again. I'm reconciled with God. He saved me. But he is saving me right now in the present tense as well. He's working in my life. He's given me his Holy Spirit to change me from the inside out into the image of Jesus. He's helping me as I trust in him to have victory over sin in my life. So he has saved me. He is saving me right now. And he will save me. That's future tense, right? There will be a day when, and he already has done that, but it'll be applied to my life. He has conquered death. And so I have the privilege of living eternally with Christ. He is preparing a place for me. He has saved me from my sins. He is changing me on the inside. He has prepared a place for me. So that's why I need communion, because I need to be reminded of these things. So that's probably enough, right? Do you need another reason? Do you need more reasons? I think if we grasp that, we really take it into our hearts, we will take these elements, the bread and the cup, and we'll eat them with thanksgiving, with great joy, because of the lengths that God has gone to save us. That's why you need communion this morning. Because we can forget. I mean, we know the facts, right? We've heard, most of us have heard these things before. And so not in terms of forgetting the facts, but in terms of forgetting what difference it makes in my life and in your life. So that's the first reason, just remembering how far God was willing to go to save us. The second one is this. Well, let me give you an illustration. I love basketball, so I always try to throw in a basketball illustration if I can. So in a game, you'll have on occasion some guy who just tosses up a shot that he shouldn't take, right? He's way beyond the three-point line. Or he's got three guys on him, and he shoots it anyway. And so if he sinks it, the announcers will often say, you know, that was a heat check shot. That was a heat check shot. What he's trying to say is that he was trying to, it's early in the game usually, so he's going to take this shot, he's going to throw it up there, and if he sinks it, he knows, okay, this is going to be a good game because I'm hot. If he misses it, maybe I'm going to struggle with my shooting, right? And some guys just keep on shooting until they finally do sink it. But it was a heat check, so, you know, am I hot or am I cold? That was the purpose of that particular shot. This day, am I hot or am I cold? So the second thing that communion does for us is that it's kind of like a heat check, right? So, you know, as we come to communion, it forces us to consider, you know, where's my heart? Is it hot or is it cold? Or is it lukewarm? You know, do I really not care? You know, I can take it or leave it. Is my heart on fire for God? Do I love him? Do I want to serve him? Or am I far away? Or am I just kind of apathetic? Oh, well. So it's a heat check, or a heart check is another way of putting it. We need to have our heart checked every now and again. And so having communion on a regular basis gives you and me a chance to check our hearts and say, okay, where's my heart? Because if you're anything like me, and I don't think I'm that different, my heart can drift away pretty easily. And so I can get distracted, or I can get busy, or I can just kind of, you know, and sometimes you don't even realize it. And all of a sudden, you know, you recognize, maybe you come to communion and say, wow, you know, I really have drifted. And my heart really isn't into this. And my heart's cold, or it's kind of lukewarm, or I just don't really have a desire for this. And so God, help me warm up my heart again. Change my heart, because I've drifted away. And you may not even know it. I mean, it's just gradual. It's sort of day by day. You didn't make a decision to do that. You just kind of neglected some things, and you've drifted away. Others of us, maybe we've made a decision to walk away from God because you're disillusioned by God or by church or whatever. You're disappointed in God, and so you've just kind of said, okay, I've had it. You know, maybe you don't walk away from your faith completely, but you kind of say, well, I'm just going to do my own thing because I'm disappointed in you. And so you walk away. And so sometimes when you come to a time like this, you can say, okay, you know, what happened here? You know, why am I angry? Why am I disappointed? Why have I become so disillusioned? What do I need to allow you to do in my heart to change that? So these times are important for me and for you so that we can have that chance to check our hearts. And so the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 says, you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. So we're going to take a few minutes to do that. And I think Lisa is prepared. So would you lead us in a time of praying, asking God to examine our hearts? So I want to continue on. This is part two. Two more reasons why I need communion this morning. And the third one is that it reminds you that you're not alone in this. You're not alone in this journey, in this Christian life, and that there are others along with you. And in fact, we don't generally, it's not encouraged that you do communion on your own over your kitchen table with no one else in the room. And there's a reason for that. It's because it's a recognition. This meal is kind of the family meal, as we're called sons and daughters of God, and we're part of His family. We're not called just as individuals. Of course, we have our individual decision to make, to follow Christ or not to follow Christ. But we're called into a family. He puts us in families. And this is our particular family. There are others meeting this morning across the city and around the world. But God puts us in families, and this act of taking communion is a recognition of that we're part of something bigger and that we need each other. We're part of the body of Christ. God has placed us in His family. And so we take this together, not as individuals, because we're acknowledging every time we do that you and I have the same Lord and Savior, and that all of us come together to the foot of the cross equally, right? Nobody's superior to another. You know, nobody has more access to God than another. All of us can come freely to the cross of Jesus Christ through the blood that was shed and His body that was broken. And we're all in need of salvation. There is not one person in this room that is not in need of salvation. There is not one person in this room that I believe doesn't have some area of brokenness, some area where sin, your own or someone else's sin, has impacted your life and you're in need of wholeness. Some area maybe that you need healing emotionally or physically. There is not one person in this room that does not need that kind of thing. There's not one person who does not need grace, the grace of God. Not one of you. That's beyond that. All of us need it. And we're all recipients of God's love. We're united in Christ. We're part of something so much bigger. And so it's more than just you and God, as great as that is. You know, we're part of something so much bigger. And so we do it together. And so there's Lee Eklof. I don't know him in particular, but he writes in his book, The Sinner's Feast. And he says, this table is different. This table of the Lord, and he's talking about communion, isn't where sinners find Christ, but where sinners celebrate being found. Maybe some morning, instead of solemnly passing these trays, we should dance for joy. Maybe we should sing every born-again song we know. Maybe we should tell our homecoming stories and laugh like people who no longer fear death. Maybe we should ask if anyone wants seconds, never done that before, and hold our little cups high and toast lost sisters found and dead brothers alive. And really, that's just a graphic way of illustrating what the church throughout the centuries has always done. For those who have trusted in Christ, he brings us together in a family and we worship him together. So this little snapshot in Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47 talks about that. It says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That's the church. That's what the church looks like. That's what God wants to do in and through us. So that's the third one. We're not alone. You know, we do this together. We're part of the body of Christ. The fourth one is that you need communion because it reminds you, if we haven't got enough reasons, right? Here's another one. It reminds you that in Christ you have victory and new life in Jesus. So we do this, Jesus says, until he returns. So, I don't know if you knew this, but this is not a funeral service. This is not a funeral service. We're not mourning a dead hero. We're celebrating a resurrected Lord and Savior who lives today. So that should change the way we do it, right? It should affect the way we approach this time. It's not a funeral service. We're celebrating the risen Christ. And we're celebrating the fact that he is victorious. He's victorious over sin and over death and over hell. And because if we're followers of Christ, if we're his children, we share in that victory, in those victories. We share in that. And isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Isn't that, you know, in some places that would warrant an amen or a hallelujah. Some places, in some churches, they would do that. So Christ is victorious, and he leads us in victory, right? So there's lots of things in this world today that can get you down. No shortage of bad news, right? Unless you hole up in your room and don't listen to radio or TV or go on the internet and just pretend nothing's happening. You know, there is lots of bad news out there. It's easy to get discouraged. There's no shortage of that kind of thing. But I want to tell you, the good news trumps it all. In the presence of the resurrected Jesus. Okay, we'll get through this. The presence of the resurrected Jesus, the grave has been defeated. It's been overcome. Sickness has met its cure. Sin has been blotted out. Satan has been defeated in the presence of the risen Christ. And as children of God and heirs of Christ, we share in that victory. And he gives us eternal life, an abundant life. And we participate in the amazing work of God, which makes all things new. That's what he's doing. That's what he's up to. So he's making all things new. So that's all things in creation, including you and me. He's making all things new. So there's four reasons. I can come up with a bunch more if you want, but we won't today. The links, when you really recognize how far God was willing to go for you, out of love for you, you need to do this. This is important. When you realize how easy it is for you or me to drift, you need a heart check every now and again. And you need to realize that you're part of something so much bigger and that there are others along with you on this journey. And that there's victory and there's new life in Jesus. So, okay, I'm just talking about what we're doing right now in just a moment. But I want to tell you something even more. That communion is not a once-a-month thing. Communion is not a once-a-month thing. It's an everyday thing. So I'm not talking about, you know, taking the cup and the bread every day of your life. But I'm talking about communion. Communion with God, fellowship with God, sharing with Him, sharing life with Him, sharing life with other people. Communion is not just a once-a-month thing. It's an everyday thing for those who know Jesus Christ as Savior. So what you need to do is you need to remind yourself. We're going to do that here. But you need to remind each other of the need that you have. And you need to remind yourself, if you believe this, this should make a difference in the way I live my life, shouldn't it? And so we're going to do this. We're going to celebrate communion. We're going to sing a couple of songs first. And we're going to do it for all these reasons, but ultimately because Jesus told us to do. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me."